You've been looking, as I indicated, at this idea of living your lives for God on the front line. And you've talked about the call of God to the front line, about the commission of God to the front line. And this week you're talking about what it means to be the community of God on the front line. What are we talking about here? We're saying most of us live our lives not in church. If you take the 168 hours of a week that you live, the majority of those lives are lived not inside this building, not with other Christians, but in your context of your daily lives, in your workplace, in your community, in your school, wherever God's put you. And that's great. But quite often, church forgets that that's the case. And this series of sermons is about saying, well, okay, that's the front line God's put us in. How do we live the stuff and do the stuff in that context? And so, how also do we support each other in that? I kind of would like it to be normal for Christians to pray for each other, knowing a bit about the lives we live outside the building. I guess if you look, well, have a look round and see who you're sitting next to or sitting near to. Just see who it is. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if I ask you the difficult question, do you know what that person sitting behind you does for their daily living? Are they at work? Where do they work? That's got you going, hasn't it? Okay, enough. You can find out more over coffee. But living life as Christians on the front line is about knowing each other in that context and saying, actually, what can I pray constructively for Frieda, for John, for Arthur, for Jane, about what they are doing in that context? What do I know about what they face? What do I know about the kind of lives they're leading? And these four guys who are being baptized and confirmed this morning are going to be commissioned today to be living on the front line. And we want to pray for them too, that whatever they're going to will be a real experience of God being there with them. And it'll be as real tomorrow as he is today. So part of this front line stuff is saying, let's be real. Let's know about each other, not intrusively. You haven't got to know all the sordid details of our lives, but all the things where we actually need support and help. I would love it if our churches were communities where we could say, I'm really having a hard time at work because I've been asked to do stuff. I'm not really comfortable with what I'm being asked to do by my manager. I really find it difficult at school because the way the peer group pressure goes for me is that I'm meant to join in with stuff that mocks so-and-so. And I don't want to do that. I want to be Christian. I want to be distinctive. I'm really finding it difficult in the school governor job I've got because the governing body isn't focusing on the task. And I want to help that governing body to do its job properly. These are the real things in our lives. And if they're not informed by the fact that God's there with us, then we're not really being real about what we can do. And what Paul says is, look, if you're living this different life, then everything changes. And we have our visual aid. I'm going to mess the camera up here. The visual aid is here. And in a few moments, we're going to have someone baptized in here. But if you look at what Paul writes, what does he say? Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above. Why is this the visual aid? Because in the previous chapter of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 2, he said, you were buried in baptism and you rose to life. This is a great visual aid. You're going to be a visual aid for us this morning, Bianca. This is great. Because what Bianca's going to do is she's going to go under the water as though she was dying. And we won't keep her under for too long, so she won't actually die. And then she's going to come up out of the water as a new resurrected being. It's a symbol, isn't it, of going down into the grave and coming up. That's why we immerse people in water. That's why, actually, baptism by immersion is a powerful symbol of what goes on. More water is good for us. You'd be pleased to know that, weren't you? And Paul's saying, on the basis of the fact you were buried in baptism and you are now raised again, a whole new life follows. So you've been raised with Christ. And the reference back is to that symbol of baptism. So he's reminding the Christians, you started your lives like this. And what people used to do in those days was they used to strip down to not very much be baptized. It's all right, you haven't got to do that bit. You'll see me in a t-shirt later on. That's bad enough for anybody. And they'd come out of the water and they would put new clothes on people. And that's what lies behind this passage. Paul says, when you're baptized, you go down into the water, you die with Christ, you come up again and you start living a new life, and you're clothed with something new. And that something new is how you live your life on the front line. And so you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things where Christ is at the right hand of God. So that's that first thing. How do you live life on the front line? Because your minds are new and changed and you're focused on Jesus Christ. And you're saying, every moment of every day, I want to be known as a Christian. Even when that's difficult. Even when people will say, oh, you're a Christian. That's a bit weird, isn't it? Or, if you're a Christian, shouldn't you be doing this, this, and this? Or, aren't you Christians all totally intolerant? You know, all the stuff we get if we're putting our heads above the parapet. And Paul says, set your heart on things above where Christ is. Second thing he says is, not only a different focus, but also a different behavior. Put to death a whole series of things. I'm not quite sure why these visual aids are on the wall. But you've got envy, lust, and arrogance. And they're kind of some of the things. What are they there for? All right, okay. Just in case you weren't sure what was going on, these are not the things you aim for. Just checking. But here are three words, and they're not dissimilar to the things in this passage about sexual immorality, impurity, lust, filthy language, malice, a whole pile of things. Paul is saying our behavior is distinctive and you get rid of these things. So part of going down in the water and dying with Christ is to get rid of the stuff that makes our lives a mess. But the great thing about the Christian message is it isn't just about what you don't do, it's what you do do. And so a bit further on he says, and you're now clothed with Christ and you put new things on. And they are right at the back, on the second page of the reading. As God's chosen people, you clothe yourselves, there's the baptism picture, with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. That's the way you live. And there are better words to have on your wall than these, but there we are. Who am I to criticize? So, your minds are set differently. You focus on Jesus Christ. You're clothed differently because you've taken off the old and put on the new, and you behave differently. And that's an amazing change. And then what follows is you live in new community. Over the page on the second side, you will see something else that takes place. You've put on a new self. The picture that Bianca's going to enact for us is going under the water, coming up and saying to us, she's put on a new self. And that's true of all of us. It's not just her. Every Christian has gone through this process. Whether you've actually been baptized in this way or not, the sign is you've died with Christ, you've come up, and you are now a new person, and you're part of new community. And the new community is this amazing, exciting community, which is the community of God's people. Look around you. Here is God's new community here at St. Stephen's. There's no Gentile, nor Jew, nor circumcised, nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. Christ is all. What resources you for living life on the front line? It's your Christian family. It's the stuff that sustains you. It's being here in church. That's why church is actually important. All the people who say to me, I can be a Christian and not go to church, I say to them, and where do you get your support from then? You've got contact groups and other stuff here at St. Stephen's, which sustain you midweek as well. But on Sundays, it's also important that you have this fellowship one with another, and that we're genuinely relating to each other when we're together. And that relationship that we have changes the ways in which we would normally behave, because all those barriers between people that might otherwise break our relationships are broken down. And so we are this wonderful multicultural, multi-generational thing called church. And we remember the fact that actually there aren't many other contexts where this group of people of all sorts and conditions are actually together as friends because Jesus Christ has made it possible. We underestimate, don't we, sometimes the strength of this new community, of the fact that what sustains us is that we're part of this bigger picture called church. People laugh at church. I don't laugh at church because church is great. It's what holds us. With all its foibles, with all its idiosyncrasies, with all the strange people that God calls, I'm strange, you're strange, that's how we are, but God loves us to pieces and he makes us new community. And he says, this strange people is my countercultural society, which is going to change the world one by one. It's great, isn't it? You're a part of that adventure. And you four are being welcomed onto that journey this morning as you confess your faith in baptism, in confirmation. We're saying to you, you're going to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now, the ambassadors thing is something that comes out of what we're doing in the Diocese of London for the next few years up to 2020. As part of Capital Vision 2020, we are asking God to give us 100,000 ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The study you're doing through Lent about what it means to live on the front line will lead up to Easter Sunday, when you will be commissioned, all of you, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ here in Ealing. That will get to our 100,000 as each church gradually finds its way into that commissioning. But you four are doing it early, because at your confirmation you're going to receive a cross at the end of the service as a sign that you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So they get there first, which is good. And it's all about saying, if we are to make an impact on our great world city of London, if we are to be people who make a difference to the society we're called to live in, then to be an ambassador is to be transformed. That's the picture. Paul says to the Colossians, set your heart on things that are above. Focus on Jesus Christ. He says, be clothed differently. Die to the old, live for the new. Put off the old, put on the new. Live different lives. And he says, as you do that, be aware you're part of new community. And new community is what resources you for your life on the front line. Come to church, receive from God, come to your home groups, come to the other stuff that goes on. Be fueled for all the stuff that you then have to do in the world. And recognize that as ambassadors, you are freshly anointed for the love of Jesus Christ to flow through you in word, in deed, in action, in your lives, day by day. God bless the four of you as you come to be confirmed. Thank you for being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Thank you, St. Stephen's, for wanting to live life on the front line. Amen.